So we have come to another session of subtle sins. And interestingly, one of the subjects that was brought maybe a few weeks ago, I don't recall if it was Justin's portion or Charles's, but there was one that was about teachability. I can go back and look at the records, but teachability is one of the rare traits. And unteachability actually comes from pride. To be teachable, we need to come to a submission in our own mind to listen to someone and to actually follow through. Some of us are always know-it-alls. You know, we sometimes see people like that, they know it all. They come across that way. Teachability is not in them. Well, so this evening may be our prayer that as we were singing, teach us, O Lord, whatever we may come across, have been in the past several weeks, and not only in this sessions. I mean, we have ample amounts of teaching in this chapel, and praise God, it is from all very able and very credible subjects that are coming across and may be coming across into us as taught, and maybe enable ourselves to bring in subjection to those teachings. So this evening, I want to, let me see if I can share the screen. It becomes a challenge sometimes. So one of the verses we ended up, one of the words from the scripture we ended up looking at, and if you want to look at that, is the sin is crouching at the door. And why am I not seeing shareable? Okay, here it is. Sin is crouching at the door. So that made an impression on me a little bit. How stressful it is. It is the desire of our hearts to go contrary to what the Lord is asking us to do. And the desire of the sin is to overcome us. So that is one of the things that we should keep in mind. It is built into us. It is not that sometimes we fall into the traps of sin, but it is that it is not an occasional thing coming into us. It is in us. It is built into our genes. So just be keep that verse in mind. That is one of the earlier verses of the scripture directing us to tell us we are born with it. It is not an excuse that we use often and say it's not my fault, I'm born with it, but it is scripture is telling us you must overrule it. So this evening, let us just take a little survey of what happened last week. Subtle sins in that subject, impatience and irritability, and practical questions I am going to just bring up before you. If you didn't get the time to go through that, I am just doing that for his sake. So can we think of any time we were impatient and irritable? This is going to be a practical session, so let us use it that way. This is not going to be a strict Bible teaching, but look more than that. Actually, this book is designed that way, but we don't use it that way. There is a practical lesson weekly to be followed, but we don't follow the book strictly either. So can you think any time in your life? Just think yourselves. How about dealing with our spouses? I can think of a lot of time my wife is irritated at me. Sorry. No. See, that is the way we think. We never see ourselves, do I behave in such a way that I would irritate my spouse or I'm impatient with my spouse? So what practical things have we learned by learning that irritation, irritability, and impatience are truly sins that God does not condone, he condemns. How about with our children? Are we irritated at our children? I can almost tell that there is a time at which parents could lose their patience with their child. I can only bring practical experiences. So let me speak from my own experience with my own daughter behaving with her children. That is one of the exceptional. So don't take it as bragging, but I'm not out of three. One of my daughters has this exceptional ability. She has children. I won't say how many, so you will track who that is at least. But she has children. And I am amazed the way she would, they would come with rage and anger and disobedience, and she would just calmly sit down and say, okay, what is wrong? How can we deal with this? And the child would be just again going just the opposite way she wants, and she would still, I have not seen her raise her voice or lose her temper with her children. That's a rare quality. I didn't have that, even though I did not rage at my children. My patience with them would run out with a short fuse, I should say. But it's not like with her. So just practice that practical way to deal with children. Yeah, they can become little monsters, as the public would call them. We don't call them that. But they can become very irritable. They can test your patience. But deal with it. You can be strict with them, but do not lose your patience. And do not get irritated. They are treasures given to us to manage by our Lord. How about our siblings? I will pass on with that quickly. If children are listening at home or here, check yourself. If you are getting irritated with your siblings, how do you deal with others, other children in your family, other your own siblings? How about others? Think about those. How about at the checkout counter? How about we? Do we get irritated at that? One time I was checking out, that I was not checking out. There was a big line, and I was three or four people. I was just standing there. I didn't have anything in my hands. Lizzie actually went over to get something, and she said, just stand in line. There came a little thuggy guy and just put in front of me. And I said, I'm waiting in line. What? You don't have anything in your hands? Should I lose my patience? Or I definitely lost my patience. I could not fight with him. He was a big guy. As big as I am, I was not matched for him. But how about at the airport, when we see that these people taking up too much time, asking more and more questions while you are in a rush to go? Do we lose our patience? So I am just bringing some practical things we may want to check into our own mind. These are actually occasions of, you know, some people, we have to talk to them too many times, get it, and we may lose our patience. They are not very quick with it. And we don't have the patience to deal with how long we should go on explaining a certain thing, right? Or how about discourteous people? This is one example I talked about, Sam's Club. There is more that could put up, come our way. Outright, arrogant, discourteous. Immature believers who are, even in our own assembly, we may not have the patience to deal with. How about that? How about physically challenged? One time we were at the airport, and this guy was, we didn't realize that, not all well, and very old, and many things he had to get on the counter, many things he had to take loose from his bag, and it went on and on and on. I can tell you, it felt like 10 minutes. It probably was over 5 minutes. We would lose our patience in occasions like that. But, you know, seemingly gross behavior in public. Sometimes we don't like the way people behave. Gross behavior in public that we condemn. And we have no tolerance for that. We don't do much. But we lose our patience. How about driving? Somebody told me a trick not to get very agitated. They said, no, take 3 deep breaths and smile yourself. Try that, it worked. But we can lose our patience in many occasions. Driving is one of the prime examples. So irritability was defined by, in from the book, and I think by Finney the other day, the ease with which a person can become impatient over the slightest provocation. The ease with which a person can become impatient over the slightest provocation. That is irritability. Irritable patient, habitually irritable patient is person is impatient all the time. They cannot stand somebody else's imperfection. So others have to walk on eggshells around them. That is, especially in family, if they are irritable person, you have to be careful not to provoke them. Watch out, Justin. No, just kidding. All right, this evening we will look at selfishness if we have enough time to go through that. No, every family, there is no secret about it. There is no joke about it. Every family will have one or other person. From practical experience, we can say, I am an old man. I have seen many families. There will be some occasion for somebody to be irritated at each other. It happens. All we are saying here is bringing it under control by knowing this is sin. That is all we are trying to say here today. We are not saying all the saints sitting here are truly perfect. No, we are made perfect in heaven. We are working to sanctification in our own lives as we live through our life here as good examples for others. So as we work through our salvation as it is in 2 Timothy, I believe, not working for our salvation, but working to our sanctification in practical life, we need to watch out for these things. So subtle sins normally grow out of character flaws, and it is by genetic built-in. We tend to reason ourselves, our habits of life as acceptable. It is not, because scripture literally tells us it is not. We are born with most of it. We know that the sin of Abraham of lying about his wife was in Isaac too. And many times, Jacob inherited it, not directly. He had many habits of craftiness in him. And the name itself is crafty, meaning Jacob. Left rest of it, we learn at home. The habits that we accept, we learn at home. We see others doing it, so we think it is acceptable. That's where sin is. That's where. So when we see somebody else in our own family, our own assembly, our own association, our own society do a certain sin, we think it is okay. You know, children don't have to be, they don't have to be taught to be crafty. I remember one of my grandchild was told not to touch the power outlet. He was only one and a half, barely able to stand up. So nobody taught him this, but when he wanted to do what we told him not to do, he was standing there like this, but his hand was like that. His hand went behind him and he was able to touch. We didn't teach him that, right? It's built in, it's there. So this is what we want to bring into control and to submission to the Spirit. And all of us have this behavior, it's well covered up. So children show it, express it. We have it, we don't show it. It is subtle. That's why we are learning about it. It's subtle. It is a little bit hidden. Sometimes we perceive, we see through, but it is still very subtle, I say. So there are 3 or 4 areas I would like to cover in the next 10 minutes. One of it is our interest. Where should our interest be? In selfishness, we are learning about selfishness. So in selfishness, bringing it to practical side, where one of the things we need to watch out is our interests. So scripture tells us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Do we know where it is? Yes, sir. So we read that all the time, but we don't read these verses. We go to verse 6, Philippians 2, 3, and 5. So Do nothing from selfish ambition. Selfishness is described. But or in concept, but in humility. After saying these verses, we know, we'll get to it if time permits. You know, it says, look at Jesus Christ. So a humble person is not one who thinks meanly or little bit or less of himself, but who doesn't think of himself at all. That is Andrew Murray's definition. Here is one from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. No, humility is not thinking of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Thinking of others more. Not thinking of myself too much. So that is humility. Humility is not that somebody can walk over you. Humility is not having the saintly attitude and displayed whenever necessary, but in our hearts, we are not humble. We have that built-in arrogance that comes up, which scripture tells us we should suppress, master it, come over it. We have the ability as born-again children to do that with the help of the Spirit. So that is humility. So the rest of the verse, count others more significant than yourselves. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Count others more significant. Do we do that? Let's be practical here. Count others more significant. Let's recite that. Count others more significant than yourself. When was the last time you did that? This is actually the chapter is about unity in the church and humility expressed, so church will be harmoniously working together. In there is that verse 6 through 8 we read about Jesus, but or 9. So let each of you look not onto his own interest, so our interest, but also to the interest of others. This is what scripture tells us. From our most familiar verse that more commonly read in the assemblies, we just don't see this. We see about the humility of our Lord Jesus, but this is what it is leading up to, showing that example. See, this does not say we should be doormats for everyone to walk over or let them use for their purposes, but to be faithful servants of Christ. Look for others, to have an attitude of servitude. Not that how I can get served, but how can I serve should be our attitude. Have a mind, this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I hope it is coming out clearly there. Yes. Have this attitude, and then we go to verse 6. But have this attitude in you, which is yours. You can have that in Christ Jesus. The ability of humility. That's what scripture says. So this attitude, what is it? More significant. Others are more significant. What else? Others' interests. We should have the interests of others in us. We should have the attitude of servitude. That should be in our mind. Have this attitude of serving in the assembly. Have this attitude of serving others. Have this attitude of serving in the family. That's what that example brings up. So, and this is familiar, so I will just run through it. God did not, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He became, his glory was emptied by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, God in the likeness of man, and found being in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. So that's very critical for us to watch out. What we commonly read that 6 through 8 verses, but we never look at 2 through 5. That's what it is said. On a personal level, how is our interest when we get together with some people? Do I talk more or others talk more? How is our conversation? Am I eager to? You know, there are some cases when people call. I know some others, you know. You don't get an opportunity to say anything. They are just ready to go. And some people just cut you off. They don't want you to listen fully. And there are domination of other persons in many occasions we can see, but that's one of the examples. Being focused on our own interest, but not of the others. Can be better listeners and sharers. The current world is of selfies, right? Selfie here, selfie there. I have to tell it myself, which is not bad at all. But the world is now more and more self-centered. There is a difference, right? My hands are not long enough, like some of you. So my selfies just don't come out too well. But you know, self-projection. I ate at this restaurant. I was with so and so. I was in this airport. There are important things probably to know, but I'm not condemning selfies. Please, those of you who are listening, don't get mad at me. Especially the generation that my own may be doing it. So this here is a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self. Lovers of self. I didn't highlight all the verses, but some verses highlighted here. Actually, the projection or coming out of the self in different form. Lovers of money. They hoard money. They don't want to share any money. They don't care about others. They are proud. Pride actually originates from love of oneself. I am better than you. Arrogance. Another word. Heartless. They don't have any compassion. Very proud, selfish people. Unappeasable. They cannot be pacified in any way. Without self-control. There you go. Swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure. Against self. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Example two is the use of time. How do we use the time when we meet others? Respecting other people's time. My time is going away. I'm going to take 5 more minutes with your permission, hopefully. How often do we arrive late for a planned meeting? Let's say we have an office meeting, right? 20 people should be there. And you arrive, 19 are already there, and let's say you arrive 5 minutes late. You just wasted 100 minutes of in total. That's what really it is. Because probably you had a portion or something to be done there. You know, when we meet people in restaurants, when we meet people at other places, we are at work meetings, as I said, or even assembly meeting. I have much more to say about that, but I believe that not having adequate respect for others who are already assembled and coming in late, and forgive me for saying this, I already hope you will not take this as anybody personal, anybody is coming in late, but there are times when we will be late. There are genuine reasons, but we habitually practice that. We are not looking at the interests of others, but our own self-interest and selfishness. How about in the matters of money? Responding to other people's needs. How often do we think of other people's needs? America gives only about 2% of what, that is one of the lower ones overall, 2%. There are many who give 20, 10, whatever they could, and they feel they are encouraged to. In general, Americans give very well, but how is our giving habit? You know, we are supposed to take into account of other people, contribute to the needs. This is scripture. I didn't plug in any words there. Contribute to the needs. Seek to show hospitality. How is our giving? Think about it. 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, How does God's love abide in him? I will leave it for you to ponder upon it. Inconsiderate and haughty people. Have you seen believers like that? We are saints in Christ, but we are not sometimes saintly. An obnoxious person. We don't have too many of that around, but we see them all the time. How patient are we with those people is all I'm going to ask. They cut in when possible. They have an air of heartiness, you know, in the way they walk, the way they present themselves. I am somebody. You know, that kind of expressions are there with people. This is human thing. It is there. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. That's what Christ did. When very important people come, people are always very interested to go and show others even that I know that person. Nothing wrong with that, if you know them. We want to associate with the uppity levels of society. That's not what scripture teaches us to do. That's not what Christ's example is. Entirely different. Absolutely different. Just the opposite. Scripture. Do we think about that? Have we thought about that? Does that ring a bell in our hearts? You know, some people are so obnoxious, they don't care about who's around them. You know, inconsideration. This number one example in the USA is cell phone. Yes, go ahead. You know, we are in the airport. And sometimes we listen and I talk to them about us. A madman walking, meaning that he's talking to himself. But they sit in public places or in restaurants and just obnoxiously loud. Yeah, you may have to take a phone call once in a while. You need to be courteous about that. You know, I'm just bringing an example. Please don't get mad at me. All right. So we need to practice unselfishness. That would be the call from today's scripture portion we read and studying. And irritability is one of the other subjects that came last week, that we should be even more careful. So we need to be mindful of others, Christ examples, unselfishness. The night of crucifixion, to be crucified, he was saying, not my will, but your will be done. And 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. Considering others in their needs, being considerate, looking at the interests of other people. We were singing here. So in conclusion here, teach me thy way, O Lord. Can we pray that prayer this evening? All these discussions, all these years, at least in the past 13 weeks, we have been doing about even subtle sins. The messages that we hear in the morning and at night, does that teach us anything? Is there teachability in me? Am I listening and it's going away, or am I listening and yielding? Teach me thy way. The cry of the scripture itself, full of Psalm 119, all of it. The way we should walk, Ephesians chapter 3:4. Actually, Colossians. Everywhere, the way we should walk. Exodus chapter 6:8. The way we should walk. This is how you should walk. This is how you should walk. The Lord is teaching us. Are we teachable? Are we willing to say, as long as my life shall last, teach me thy way? Are we? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalmist cries out, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So there is a portion that comes out there that we need to fear the Lord. There is no teachability once the Lord establishes his kingdom, because there will be no unrighteous there, and the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord and the obedience of the Lord will be in their hearts. They will know him fully. So this evening, may the word of Lord help us to focus ourselves. This is not hopefully getting into anybody's nerves or trying to pinpoint any one person. Trust me, I have no persons in focus about our chapel or anybody else in my mind when I talk about this. So I am clear, but if there is a way or need to be corrected, that's why we learn, that's why we listen. So may it be our prayer this evening, teach me thy way, O Lord.